This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
I will call the hearing to order. Welcome, everybody. This is the time and place set for the formal rules hearing on proposed ARSD 20:10:39, which is the stray electrical current and voltage remediation rules. We have drawn a larger crowd than I perhaps anticipated, and welcome to all of you. Let me just indicate to all of you and fellow commissioners how I anticipate proceeding, and if there's any objections, you can let me know. Today is obviously the date for the rules hearing where we will take your oral presentation. The record stays open till April 7th, where you or anyone else can submit written commentary up until April 7th. Our intention at this point is to take final action on approving these rules on April 27th. We have a regularly scheduled meeting that day. We're just in a little bit of late negotiation as to what time of day that might be, but that's our intention right now. How I intend to proceed today is to essentially open it up and let each of you come and give your presentation to us. Following all of that, we may have some questions based on your presentations. Following that, we have some specific questions, and I think at that point we're going to almost turn this into maybe a discussion session. Where we've got some specific questions for you all as the experts based on some of the LRC recommendations. And so hopefully you've had a chance to review what they recommended for changes to the rules, some of which we get, some of which we don't quite agree with. And so we want to have a discussion on those and then see where we end up at the end of today. Does that sound reasonable? Okay. With that, we will open up the chair for whoever wants to go first. Well, this is going to be shorter than I thought. There you go, Eric.
Better. All right. Good afternoon, commissioners and fellow staff. My name is Eric Pauly, and I'm with XL Energy. I just have one statement as it relates to this proposed stray voltage rules, and that is in regards to Rule 20:10:39(10), paragraph 3. And I'll just read it from the beginning just so you guys can follow along. From the very beginning, a clamp-on ammeter, digital multimeter with clamp-on device, or an inline ammeter is used to measure current between two points. The meters must be capable of separating and independently measuring alternating current and direct current, and capable of measuring the true root mean square current. And then right after that, we would propose striking. You'd be A, and then striking clamp-on ammeter must have the required resolution and accuracy. We would propose to strike that and put in A, current measurement can be prone to erroneous results due to instrument wear and influences of surrounding radio frequency signals and electromagnetic fields. If choosing to take current measurements, one must also measure the voltage across the 500-ohm resistor to confirm the current measurement satisfies Ohm's law and meets the accuracy, resolution, and steady state requirements. That's all I've got. If there are any further questions, I will stand by.
First of all, I anticipate you'll be submitting that in writing.
That is correct.
And secondly, can you explain to us why?
The biggest reason, I'm not a subject matter expert on this, but the biggest concern we've got is there is just some irrelevancies, if you will, with the current measurements, and we just feel that if the current is going to be utilized for measurement, that we need to have this in there just to for clarification of the measurement itself.
Any other questions for Eric at this point? And we'll certainly be free to pull folks back up later on if we need to.
Do you have that in writing now that we can copies of it for us or not?
Yes, I can get you copies. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
And I can sure follow up with that afterwards, too, as far as clarification. Our subject matter expert couldn't be here today, but any questions you've got, I'd be happy to address.
Yeah, and I think you're probably certainly going to want to put in writing to us the reasoning why. And I'd say to anybody else today, if you want to respond to this suggestion, good, bad, or otherwise, feel free to do that today or later in writing.
That's good.
Thanks, Eric. Others.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I'm appearing today on behalf of South Dakota Rural Electric Association, SDREA. I don't believe there is another party that has been as actively engaged in this topic than has SDREA. We brought the stray voltage bill to the legislature that was ultimately adopted, and that was in 2015. And that was done only after forming an internal stray voltage committee that studied the issue and vetted it and talked to possible stakeholders and interested parties for a period of 2 years. We have, we hope and believe, been supportive of staff and of the commission in this rulemaking docket as well. We submitted initial comments on December 11, 2015. We also reviewed comments of all the other parties, and we filed reply comments on December 24. In those comments, we attempted to explain our position on the points raised by others that have expressed interest in the docket. And then we also participated in this commission's more informal meeting on January 19 of 2016. And there, at that meeting, you afforded interested parties the opportunity to discuss the rules prior to moving into the formal proceeding. And we really appreciated that opportunity as well. We thought there was very good dialogue that took place at that meeting. So here is our position at this point. We support the rules as proposed by the commission. We applaud the commission for the manner in which you've handled this docket, and we appreciate the openness of the process. We appreciate the opportunities that we've had to provide input to date. We believe that the rules are in good shape and that they are consistent with the enabling statutes. However, I would note that as a committee, our group has not had a chance to carefully review all of the style and form changes from LRC, and we will be doing that. We will pull our group together and give you written comments on any questions or concerns that we have with regard to those changes, which are pretty extensive. We will do that prior to the close of the comment period. With regard to the language just proposed by Xcel Energy, we have actually seen this language, and I would tell you that we are not supportive of the additional language. We don't think that it's necessary, and we also are not convinced that it's consistent with a statute. However, if the commission is inclined to make substantive changes to the language in this particular rule, I will submit for your consideration and review an alternate proposal. And it's in the same section of the rules in 2010-39-10, but we would suggest that if we're going to make any changes with regard to the accuracy of the measurements, that we put some parameters around that. So we would suggest that, again, if you believe or feel that there needs to be any change, that we would add some language in subpart 1 of 2010-39-10 and just provide that if environmental conditions exist that could affect the accuracy of either current or voltage measurements. Additional measurements should be taken to verify the existence of stray voltage. And we think as an alternative that's better because it's not singling out one measurement over another. And I do have copies of that that I would leave with the commission for your consideration. Thank you again for the opportunity to participate in this process and for presenting testimony today.
Just a couple of quick questions on your alternate language. If environmental conditions, that gets pretty squishy, doesn't it?
We would prefer that the language in the existing rule not be changed. I was just trying to give you an alternative.
Thank you. Follow-up question. You mentioned that Xcel's language in some cases might be inconsistent with what is elsewhere. Is that something you could address today or would need to address in writing?
Probably in writing in the rules. I prefer to do that.
And I would ask you to do that.
And then one other point that I forgot to make, I do have most of the members of our Stray Voltage Committee here today and would certainly offer you the opportunity, if you have any questions, to bring them up. They have the expertise.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'll just say to all of you, you know, after you've heard the other presentations, feel free to jump up and comment on anybody's suggestions if you care to. Who wants to be next? We can do it either way. I mean, I'm going to ask some as we go, but we'll also feel free to call them back up later if we want to.
If I could just ask her a quick question.
Darla, if you'd want to just come back up.
SDREA had a idea of a formula change at our last rules hearing, and we haven't seen any comments or suggestions on that formula change. Are you okay with the current formula? Is that what I'm hearing now?
I'm looking at my group of experts to see.
We were going to see what Xcel had to say.
The comment that I'm getting is we were going to wait and see if there were any other comments submitted with regard to the formula, and then we will determine whether we have changes or not after that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Roger Scheibe, Executive Director of South Dakota Dairy Producers, Brookings. First of all, I want to acknowledge to the you commissioners for following through, and just like was previously said, an opportunity to air almost anything at our pleasure and do as much research as we possibly could. I represent dairy farmers, and their research is done on the farm, and they usually talk pretty loud when they have a problem. Right now, evidently, there isn't any problems. And visiting with my board on the specifics of the rules, very supportive of the concept of the utilities, working with the dairy producers once they have a problem. So they feel that this is a good, I'm going to say, process to go through if there does become an issue that does become contentious with the utility. With that, I did have the opportunity to kind of go through the LRC's version for form and style, and there's a few things I just want to elevate to your awareness, because I don't know if they need to be taken care of here or where. So I'm assuming that this, because other experts are here, it might be an opportunity to kind of get some clarification. But all the way through, they're changing everything from the cow contact current to ICC, and I understand all of that. But when you get to a point where you're a dairy farmer and you want to look at the rules or anybody else, it's nice to have that kind of defined out. I understand the reason for shortening everything.
And let me just jump in right there. As one commissioner, I don't know that I'm inclined to follow through with that LRC suggestion. We were concerned by that also for that same reason.
Because otherwise you have to go back to another page and make reference.
And it's not only dairy farmers, but it's commissioners too.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Also, I noticed that There is a reference to the definition of preventative action level, and they propose to delete that, and I, top of my head, I kind of forgot where it's at. Page 13, 2010-39-18, they deleted the definition out, but I think it's really important to have the rules at least reference the statute so someone can go back and see what that preventative level is. Or in the definition, put it in the rules, but I know that then that potentially can be a conflict if the rules change and the statute doesn't. So if the preventative action level could change. So I guess I'm suggesting maybe leave that reference in. And when we were talking earlier about the formula, I'm assuming that we're talking about the formula that was made on reference on page 29. The formula is VC dairy equals VC minus VC C utility. I don't know. Is that the formula we're talking about? Okay. And then I believe that for style and form, there was a lot of deletions and making reference to utility. There is, I believe, no definition of utility in the rule. So I think if we're going to be defining what utility is or replacing it with something else, we probably should define utility. Is it a rural electric? Excuse me? Is it a rural electric? Is it an owner? Or is it all utilities? I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
And that is defined in the statute. That's why we didn't put it in the rule.
Okay. I guess with that, looking at the form and style, those are probably the biggest concerns that we have to make them easier to follow and reference. Other than that, at this point in time, our organization and producers are fully supportive of where the rules are, what they're going to do, and looking forward to working with the utilities that are involved with our memberships. So, thank you.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Any questions at this point? If not, who's next? Anybody else want to weigh in before we start with our questions? Okay, if not, Commission Council has identified a number of questions in the LRC form and style suggestions that we'd like to talk about. And fellow commissioners, do you have that list that Rolaine prepared?
Yep.
Okay, she sent that independently to each of the three commissioners. Obviously, we haven't talked about it amongst ourselves. But what I would like to do is go through these one at a time, and if anybody's got a comment on which way we ought to go, just feel free to come up to the mic, and we're going to keep this really informal. Rolaine.
I do have a few extra copies of the form and style, if anybody needs one at this point.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start with 20:10:39:10, sub 3, which is where Eric started out today, but actually we're looking at a different part of that paragraph in the...
On page 10.
On page 10, yes. In the first sentence, LRC is asking to delete the last part of that first sentence and first part of the next sentence. That looks okay to me, but I want to throw it out. Is there anybody that would be concerned by that? Roger. And it's on page 10. It's going to be that subparagraph 3, the end of the first sentence and the first part of the second sentence. There's an overstrike. And essentially, I've looked at these, or Lane's looked at them, and I've looked at them and I've thought, I don't think this changes the meaning of it, but if somebody thinks that it does in a harmful way, that's what I want to know.
And I would like to add to that question. I'm not for sure if we need to take that out anyway. Why LRC is taking that out? Although Commissioner Nelson is saying that you're okay with taking it out, I'm not for sure the reason why we're taking it out.
Oh, let me make a global comment. Frequently, we don't know why LRC does what they do with their style and form recommendations. That's my global comment. Okay, not seeing any commentary on that. And so ultimately, I mean, these are a lot of the questions that we'll end up having to resolve. Okay, so let me ask Orlane. I mean, do you want an indication at this point from commissioners how we prefer to go on that?
I don't think we need to at this point. You can, because I think the parties could still, you know, provide something in their written comments.
Okay. Very good. Moving on to, and this is going to be on page 14, ARSD 20:10:39:19. Actually, on the bottom of page 13, top of page 14. LRC asked whether the reference in the second sentence of the first paragraph should be changed to service provider instead of utility. I will say my inclination would be to leave it as utility, since that's the term that we deal with. Any commentary? Or question? Go ahead.
I circled this as a question because isn't a service provider, they could be the utility or they could be a contractor, right? So they could be the utility. I don't know why I circled this one and still have questions if it should be utility or should be service provider.
Okay, well, if there aren't any comments from the public on that, we'll wrestle with that one. And obviously, any of these things you're free to comment on later in writing. Moving to Rule 22 on the bottom of page 14, top of page 15. LRC deleted the first sentence. And then in the second sentence, they're asking how many ground rods should be installed. And they apparently want to see that quantified. I think my preference would be to leave it as it was. But commentary. Commentary. You know, and I guess as I go through these, I'm kind of giving my opinion, and if either Gary or Christy, if you disagree with that or just even want to put a question mark there, then please do that so we kind of know what we got to focus on between now and the end point.
Put a question mark to Rolaine, you mean?
Yes. Yep.
And not talk.
Either way is fine. No comments on that one.
I do have a follow-up question.
Sure.
And I think LRC or someone made a question, how many, assuming that there is a procedure to process the testing,
well, so let's throw it out to our engineers, Ted. Is there a defined number of ground rods? How does that work?
I don't know off the top of my head. I believe we're going to have to go back and do it. Yeah, I'm an engineer. I'm not the expert.
Okay. So that might be something that y'all would want to comment on if there's any particular inclination to change what's here. Yeah, and I apologize. I'm going to need to have you drag you up to the mic as we go through this. So, yep, it's okay. Moving on to Rule 26 on page 17. The last sentence states that the locations of the electric fences and other electrified cow control devices should be noted. LRC asks where those locations would be noted. I think we're assuming that that's going to be noted on the drawing of the dairy, and I'm not sure that it needs to be spelled out in any more detail here. Any commentary? Not hearing anything there. Moving to Rule 38 on page 21. LRC stated that this rule was covered in another rule, ARSD 2010-39-19. We think it might make more sense to retain the definition here and delete it in Rule 19. So that's maybe just a consistency thing that we're going to work on. Moving to Rule 45 on page 24. This rule states that if the measured and calculated voltage drops differ significantly, then further investigation is needed. LRC asks, what is significant? And that's a question I would throw out to the group today. Is there a definition or a feeling as to what would be considered significant? I think that's a good catch on LRC's part, but I don't know what the answer is. Pam's looking like she's got an answer in the back row. Okay, so we're phoning friends. Okay. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that one. That makes sense. Going on to Rule 50. The last sentence states that for dairies with three-phase balanced primary service, the service providers perform steps 1 and 2. LRC asked if those were the only steps they perform. and they're suggesting to insert the word only. Ted, I see you shaking your head yes. Does that is can you illuminate us on that?
Thank you. Commissioners, I do believe that is correct. That only is the appropriate wording for in there. I would reserve the right to go back and actually talk with somebody else also about this, but I believe that is correct.
Excellent. Thank you. And if it is different than that, please let us know. Any other comment on that one? And if you'd continue to identify yourself just for the folks that are listening in.
Roger Scheibe with Substance Abuse. Rule 2010.
Okay. Makes sense. Green is go, right? Roger Scheibe, South Dakota Dairy Producers. Page 15, Rule 2010-3950. Item number four, changing the term load box current to subdivision two, and then voltage at load box to subdivision three. To a layman, I'm not a subject expert. I don't know exactly what that means. So with someone reading this, when you get down to subdivision two, three, and one, without having those descriptive terms in there again, are they going to really know what that means? So I'm just asking the question. So maybe we should leave it in, if it would help describe what it is.
I think that's a great suggestion. To me, it would make more sense to leave the actual terms in there. Because as rules change, subdivisions change, and I could just see that creating all kinds of havoc down the road. Okay, moving on to Rule 53, page 27. LRC is suggesting deleting the last sentence. That deletion does not make sense to me, but obviously they're getting into a technical area as to what might provide for the best quality test. Any commentary on that? Go ahead. And Ted, if you'd identify yourself for the folks on the line.
Yes, sir. My name is Ted Smith with Sioux Valley Energy. I agree with you that I don't believe that sentence should be stricken. I think that should be in there.
Thank you. Any others? Okay, if not, let's go to Rule 59 on page 30. And in the very first line, it says, within a reasonable period of time. And there, again, is another pretty squishy term, and LRC is asking, what is reasonable? Does anybody have some comment? Go ahead, Roger. I think I would be inclined to put a time frame in there, but I'd like it to be something that's workable for everybody.
Yeah, in visiting with some of my board members, dairy farmers, they thought 30 days would be a reasonable period of time. So I was going to suggest that.
Thank you. Any of the utilities in the room, a response to using a 30-day time frame?
Thank you, Darla Rogers, SDREA. We did a quick poll back there, and they concur. We concur that 30 days would be a reasonable time period.
Excellent. Thank you.
Pam Bonrad with Northwestern Energy, and in checking with my SME, we would agree that 30 days is a reasonable amount of time as well.
Excellent. Any others?
Randy Rowan, Otter Tail Power Company. And we agree 30 days is a reasonable amount of time.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? And then the last comment that Rolaine came up with is the exact comment that Mr. Scheibe started with, where they were suggesting changing a lot of these terminology to the initials, and we don't concur with that, I don't think. We'd like to leave it as explanatory as possible. I've got two others that I came up with that were on my list. Going back to page 6, subparagraph 13, where it says resistance, and the original language said an electrical quantity that quantifies, and LRC is suggesting that that should be changed to the word quality. And in my mind, that changes the definition, and I'd like some expertise on this as to whether quantity or quality is the right word.
Thank you, Commissioner Nelson. Darla Rogers with SDREA. This was one area that I noted prior to the hearing, and I asked our people right beforehand. I think it should stay the way it was as quantity. I don't think it should be changed to quality. I don't think that's correct.
Thank you. Any other commentary? Darren, did you want to jump in on this one? I heard a sidebar over here. No. Okay. Any other commentary on that? Rolaine, you've got that.
Yes, I had looked that up, and I looked back at some other rules that we were basing this on, and I agree that I would not change that to quality.
And the other one that I noted is on the top of page 7, and this is subparagraph 21, where they're attempting to delete the electrical quantity that describes. To me, that's pretty important as part of that definition, but again, I'd look for some input. The designated spokesman returns.
Thank you again, Darla Rogers, SDREA. Our consensus is that language should stay in.
Okay. That's everything that Rolaine had flagged, everything I had flagged. Commissioners, anything that... Go ahead.
For the dairy producers, on page 8... on the very top, I think it's okay, but I just wanted to make sure and ask you that they've changed that first sentence, and they've also changed may to shall. So I just wanted to make sure, and then anybody else can comment too, but I just wanted to ask the dairy producers for sure. And any other comments?
Roger Scheibe, South Dakota Dairy Producers. In reading this, I would believe that the word shall should be in there if the producer feels that there is a problem on his place and he is contacting the utility or service provider, however you decide to define that, that to have it go to the next step, if it's not going to be taken care of locally, I think that they should. So the word shall, I guess we would recommend.
Thank you.
You know, Commissioner Feagin, that was a great question because it really turns it into a mandate. But by the same token, if our whole goal in all of this is to get these things resolved, then a mandate's probably okay there. So thank you for that input. Pam, do you have any response on Rule 45 yet from your people? And again, regarding the definition of what is significant.
Okay, Pam Bondrud with Northwestern Energy. I'll just read you what I received from Kit in Montana, and if we need to define this more, we will in our comments following the hearing. We would agree that significance probably does need to be defined, and the reason being is if we know the load that should be turning off and on, then the voltage drop that would occur should be very close to calculated values is what he's telling me. So there's probably some, there's probably benefit in getting significance defined at some range or, so there's a way of knowing what that, if there's a voltage drop, is that significant enough or not?
Okay, then I probably would throw that out as the homework assignment for those of you that are experts in the field to see if you can suggest something to us to insert there.
In addition, he just sent me a little more follow-up. A voltage drop that cannot be explained by Ohm's law relationship with known values should be investigated. So I guess that's a good engineering thing for those of us that had physics in college and don't remember anything about it, other than Ohm's resistance is all I remember.
Commissioner Hansen, any questions on your behalf?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was interested understanding the LRC's comments and appreciate Ms. Weiss' comments. I was just interested in hearing what everybody else had to say, all of the folks who this is going to affect. So thank you.
Ms. Weiss, anything that we've not covered that you'd like to see us cover?
No, I think we have it covered. I just wanted to make sure that everybody has signed our sheet because I do need to put that in the minutes.
Okay, again, April 7th is the deadline for written commentary, and we'd encourage that, and we've thrown out a number of questions and assignments for you, and we look forward to getting that feedback. And Mr. Scheibe, go ahead. And anybody else that would like to make any closing comments, we're certainly welcome them.
I just noticed that I had a note to myself, and I forgot to acknowledge it. So Rule 17 on page 13. I just need a clarification, I guess, of what the change would do for the testing sequence. Or is it just a clarification? Does it change anything? It appears to me that this is really what it comes down to as a description of the purposeful outcome. So we really should have it in there from a producer's perspective, making sure that that testing sequence is clear. And then I think they overstruck, and then they put the word keep. So I'm not certain exactly what direction you're going to go with that.
The first part you wanted to leave in, I'm sorry, are used to determine? So we're on 17, and what did you think should be left in?
Well, I guess my suggestion would be leave it the way it was, because the last part of that sentence, it looks like LRC overstruck it, and then there's a note, keep in.
So you would like the entire first sentence left the way it was?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other commentary? Seeing none, I, on behalf of the commission, want to thank everybody for coming out today and for participating. You've been very helpful in answering our questions, and we look forward to your written commentary, and we will endeavor to pull all of that together and meet back on probably April 27th for a final vote on the rules. And then our intention, obviously, we have to take them to the legislature's Rules Review Committee and understand they're meeting on June 1st. And Rolaine and I will be presenting them there and hopefully achieve approval from those six folks and have them ready for implementation on 1st of July. Anything else? If not, we will stand adjourned.